everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And yeah.
We're back.
We're back with another episode.
Back with another episode talking about the wrestling magazines of the past. And I feel like there was some wrestling that I needed to talk about.
I thought of something just right now.
Let me go first.
Okay. Yeah, mine's not integral to anything, so.
I watched some I've been watching some Continental, because that guy, Armstrong Alley on Instagram, not on Instagram, on Twitter. Or
YouTube. Yeah.
He's been posting more full-length episodes from, like, 88.
Yeah, it's been cool. Yeah, I fell asleep during one, but, I mean, that's me in a nutshell. I'm going to put it on and fall asleep, because that's what I do. Like, when I get home from work, just put the TV on, watch TV, and fall asleep. Usually, lately it's been WCW circa 1994-95, but then one day I was watching his stuff, and that's how I fell asleep.
So. It's good. I don't know. You know what it is? You know, Southern wrestling is a very specific flavor of wrestling, you know, in the sense that maybe I'm misspeaking on that, because it just has its own deal, you know. It's not bombastic, you know. It's a lot of playing to the crowd, and anybody could be a heel. That's the thing about, like, Southern wrestling, is like, it doesn't matter who you are, anybody could be a heel. I think it's better off if you have more hair that looks lousy. Like, there's this one guy who I see on all these CWA ones, or the Continental ones. It's Alan Martin, who, I'm trying to think, what's the best way to describe his look? Do you remember this comedian Bruce Baum?
No.
Okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. But he's got, like, just like this balding, but he's got, like, all the hair on the back that's, like, sticking out. You know, it's just all over the place. He's got a mustache, and he just, you know, but he's, like, a top heel. Actually, there's this one where they beat up this referee. It was just, they had a segment where there was some sort of issue with this referee who was a face, but they, you know, the heels were trying to get at him, and they beat up this referee. And I remember, like, they ripped off the back of his shirt. He only had the front on. And then the referee came out for a run in later, just wearing the front of the shirt. I was like, you know, just get a new shirt, you know?
Yeah.
And he bladed. They made the referee blade. So he came out with the Spirit of 76 head wrap and a half a shirt.
I think it's better with half a shirt.
It is.
Yeah.
That's an outfit I want in wrestling nowadays. I don't feel like it happens a lot in nowadays in wrestling, but when wrestlers used to, like, do beatdowns, and they would beat up dude, like, if they were in street clothes, they would beat them up, but they would rip off your clothes, but they would rip it off, and, like, it's clothes that, like, aren't meant to rip.
Yeah,
like, they're not just, like, t-shirt. I mean, even with t-shirts, like, they rip off, like, part of it, so it's always, like, you know, you always get, like, an arm left, or it's just, like, it's on in a weird way, because they got wrestlers, because the intensity is so much that they don't want to remove that article of clothing, even though it's shredded.
Yeah, I always like the half arm hanging off, like you don't, like, the jacket getting ripped off, but you only got half an arm left. Like, it's, yeah, yeah. I always liked that.
What was it like when, was it WrestleMania 3?
Your cat is staring into my soul right now, though.
No,
he's just looking at me.
He wants to know about your wrestling. He wants to know about, he is staring
at me. Why are you staring at me? Look at, like he's just, like he's sitting on the table and he's in my grill staring at me. Like, I don't understand.
He's fine.
I know. Maybe he smells my cats. Remember, like, when it's, like, you'd go to someone's house and the dog would jump up. Oh, maybe he smells my dog. Well, maybe
that's how I always say when I come home and people smell my cats.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about WrestleMania 3 when it was Butch Reed and Coco Beware, and after the match, like, Tito Santana comes out and rips off all of Slick's clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
And Slick's just got, like, he's got, like, half the suit on, and he's just, like, it's all shredded, which actually does kind of a dick thing.
Yeah.
Like, a random dick thing to happen where, like, because, like, Butch Reed, I mean, apparently at that time, you know, Tito was feuding with Slick, and Butch Reed, Tito had, like, a million programs going on at the time, apparently, because he was not only wrestling against Danny Davis in the trip in the six man, but he also had a beef with Slick, you know, and then he ends up hooking up with Rick Martel a couple months later. Tito had a big year in 87.
I guess so, yeah. Big year for Tito.
Big year for Tito. That's my new...
1987, the year of Tito.
That's what I want the new showcase mode in WWE 2K19 yes. to be. I want 1987 Tito Santana. 86, 87. I want to follow him getting screwed by Macho Man. I want the WrestleMania six-man. That means we're getting a Danny Davis in the game.
Yeah.
And we're getting ourselves a Butch Reed. And when he does that run-in, we get ourselves a Coco. Man, I want all that.
With the Scotty the Body first appearance Scotty, DLC.
Yeah, I want all that.
Pre-order.
That's my
2K19. Everyone listen, this is what we want. We want a Raven pre-order with Scotty the Body and Raven. We don't need Johnny Polo.
We don't need Johnny Polo. No, we do need Johnny
I would
Polo.
Love to have Johnny Polo, but he was just a manager, so he's kind of not necessary.
Oh, yeah, you don't want him as a manager guy. Yeah. Then you can't play as him.
Yeah.
Or unless you're General Adnan and you're in a game for like 30 years for some reason. They're like, we must have General Adnan. This is the most important thing.
Yeah.
We must spend resources making General Adnan so kids can play as him.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being a kid and being like, I'm going to play this game, and here's John Cena, and here's Seth Rollins, and here's Undertaker, and then who's this pudgy Iranian dude? But you get to play Sheiky. Like, you know, because that's for the dads. That's where dad's like, Iron Sheik, I didn't know he was still alive. That's how everybody says it. Everybody goes, I didn't know that guy was still alive.
Just hanging on. So the cat's on top of the book.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to take our break.
It's staring into my soul again.
We'll have to take our break and start to talk about it. But you had something you want.
No, I was just because we were in the talking about wrestling. So I told a coworker about our podcast. He's like, oh, you guys got a wrestling podcast. Check this out.
That's right, we do.
Here's my photo I drew.
What, of us doing a podcast?
No, it was he pulls up on his Instagram.
Because what you described it was sound like he's like, oh, look at this photo I drew of me learning about your podcast.
And so he pulls up on his Instagram and he's like, oh, look at that. And I was like, and it was like a wrestler. I was like, who's that, Eddie Gilbert? He's like, no, it's Macho Man Randy Savage. And I was like, oh, it looks more like Eddie Gilbert. And then like it was Macho Man circa, like, you know, mid-90s when he was wearing the full outfits, because like he wasn't doing steroids.
Yeah, he was off the gas.
So like that was the match. And then like I was just like, he looks like Eddie Gilbert. Then he showed me his Sting photo and it looked just like Sting. So he did a really good job with Sting.
Oh wait, so he drew it?
Yeah, he drew it and he had it on his Instagram.
So he drew a circa 1990s Macho Man?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, did he have the outfit?
Yeah, well, no. It was just like a sketch, and I like I said, it looked like Eddie Gilbert.
Oh.
Gilbert. And when I mentioned Eddie Gilbert, he kind of was like, I remember that name, and then I pulled up Eddie Gilbert, and he's like, oh, I remember Eddie Gilbert. He was in the UWF, and I was like, yeah. So he knew Eddie Gilbert was.
He's a brother.
Yeah.
If you know Eddie Gilbert from the UWF,
yeah.
you're one of us.
Yeah, he used to... He said he went to Saturday night's main event one time at the sports arena. So, nice. He's an older guy. So he's already scored some points with me in that aspect. But his Macho Man left me to be desired.
I do like, this reminds me of that one time. I don't know if I've told this story before, but one of my old podcasts I used to produce was with this husband and wife. It's a travel podcast, and for some reason, you know, because I like wrestling, we kind of started to talk about wrestling and decided to do a wrestling theme podcast episode. And we had Rock Riddle on. Do you know Rock Riddle?
I know Rob Riddle.
Oh, not yeah, no, Rock Riddle. He's no. a guy who he's this older wrestler who still wrestles occasionally, okay. But he's like this. You maybe have seen him. He's got like the. I forgot what his nickname is, but he's got like black sunglasses. He's got the bleach blonde, long ass, like ponytail hair, probably in his 60s. And he used to wrestle in the Continental area, like way back, like even, you know, like in the probably early 80s, late 70s. But he's based out here now and he does like acting workshops and shit. But we had him on, we had our, the friend on is this, one of the host's friends who's a wrestler. I didn't know who he was, but. So they were on and we're talking and, you know, and the host's name was Mark. His wife, you know, chimes in. His wife's name is Yenny. And she's like, oh, yeah, I remember World Class. You know, I remember the Von Erichs and this thing. And then it was one of those things where, because Mark wasn't into wrestling, but like me and this other guy were. So we were like, you know, we just all kind of look at it. We kind of look at each other like, oh man, this is really cool. Because, you know, his wife's pretty and all that. And stuff. We're like, you don't understand. You're like, a pretty girl that knows about the Von Erichs. Like,
how old was she if she knew about the Von Erichs? She must have been in her like mid-40s at least.
early mid-40s. I feel I don't know how old she was, but she's, I mean, well, I mean, I was 7 years old. And I knew about the Von Erichs.
Oh, you were, oh, okay.
You know, from this particular magazine that we're going to talk about today. Oh,
okay.
Because I did my research. I was talking kayfabe back in 87.
Yeah. But I can't see a woman, like, as a young lady reading wrestling magazine.
No, but she probably lived in, like,
Texas.
Texas or lived in an area that... World Class, which, by the way, that's another one I've been watching. And World Class is kind of boring.
Yeah, I kind of stopped watching it.
I'm not going to lie. I'm like watching it, and literally, and I'll say this, literally every match is some, the main event is some combination of the Von Erichs and the Freebirds.
Yeah.
And Iceman Parsons and Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
That's it. And Rick Rude at the time, because he was the world champion.
You know, I was really excited about World Class. And then I started watching, and I'm like, I really enjoy the undercards. Like, I really enjoy the wrestlers they had. But yeah, the main event scene, like, just doesn't do it for me at all.
Like, yeah, I feel like do it. I feel like, because it's still the same shit.
I like the, I know I'm in the minority, but I really like the 90s. Freebirds with Jimmy Jam Garvin, like that's the Freebirds.
You're not a minority. They're fun.
I love that version of the Freebirds. That's just the one I prefer.
That was the version of the Freebirds I think that I was most familiar with because like, you know, you would watch it like 90, 91, you know, and it was just him and Jimmy, and they came out and they sang Bad Street, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's the version I like.
You know, and I mean, there's actually a really good match. I think I might have talked about it. It was Wrestle War. 92, maybe? The Freebirds for the U.S. tag titles up against Terry Taylor and, or sorry, the Taylor-Made Man and Greg Valentine. And it's a fucking badass match. It's just a good old school match. And Jimmy Jam was looking ripped, too.
Yeah.
Which is like, he was looking, probably the best I've seen him. But yeah, it was pretty good. So yeah, I mean, no shame in that. You know what? Let's take our break. Talked about some wrestling. We'll get back. We're going to talk about a really cool book that actually came from my childhood and actually came from that lot. I know. Yeah, my wife is looking at me and our cat is sitting on the book. So we might have to just review the cat.
Yeah.
But
the cat needs a haircut. And
he's getting a haircut tomorrow.
Yeah.
So next time you hear this podcast, folks, the cat will be shaved.
Yeah.
So we'll take our break and we'll come back in a second.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
All right, we're back here on I Can Talk Kayfabe with our book for this week. It is...
Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the granddaddy of them all.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated number... 1987. November. Sorry. Pro Wrestling Illustrated November 1987.
Yeah.
And...
do you have the centerfold? I didn't see it in there.
Centerfold isn't... Wait. Oh, wait.
No.
Oh, it's not in here.
Oh, man.
Oh, God damn it.
Because really? I saw the top and I got intrigued. And
I used to have that photo.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I remember the photo specifically. So I had this magazine as a kid.
Yeah.
From like 1987. And I remember as far as my wrestlers went, my Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazines went, I had this that I remember retaining for a while. This was this. It was another one. I don't know from what month. Probably September, probably over to, maybe it was a couple months before this one, but it was Ric Flair on the cover, and it was him saying he's nothing without the NWA title, or something about the Horsemen, or something about that. I had that, and I had the Year in Review of 1987, which I read a lot. I read those magazines a lot, and this was one of them, and I picked this one up at that Pro Wrestling Ultra event, Pro Wrestling whatever, PCW event. And it is November 1987, Pro Wrestling Illustrated with Nikita Koloff on the cover.
Yeah.
It's a great picture of him, too, just standing there looking gigantic. It's a, you know, it's a shot from him in the ring, but it's awesome. And when the going gets tough, will Nikita Koloff turn bad again? We're kayfabe here, and we're saying when guys do turns, I am turning to my dad and saying, oh, Hulk Hogan's good, or this guy's bad.
Yeah.
And that's how it goes. So we also have halfway to immortality. Hulk Hogan targets Bruno's WWF title reign. Best 2 out of 3, Jimmy Hart is the new manager of champions. Press conference, Barry Windham. At the top, it's Road Warriors declare too tough for Japan. And then at the very top, as Joe was pointing out, full color centerfold of George Animal Steel.
Which would have been a cool centerfold.
It would have been cool, and you would have loved this one, because it's not just a picture of George Animal Steel. It is a picture of George Animal Steel standing in a full-length mirror, looking in a full-length mirror, combing his chest hair.
Nice. That would have been amazing.
Combing his chest hair very, very delicately. And I think he's wearing, like, regular pants. It is a very fun, candid photo that they used. Or maybe I think he's wearing, like, shorts, like, just athletic shorts. He's just combing his chest hair, looking like George Animal Steel does. I remember that being my first exposure to... At least my first exposure I can remember of the original Sheik.
Oh, okay.
Because it mentioned the original Sheik as one of his hated opponents. Or I think it was, because we always say, like, your maneuver, which was the flying hammerlock, and it would say his greatest match, which I think it was a cage match against either Bruno or Pedro. But it was one of his opponents was the Sheik. And I remember looking at it and being like, oh, it's the Iron Sheik. Because I didn't know there was another Sheik.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was a Sheik that was the biggest scourge in wrestling. But unfortunately, we do not have that photo. So we are just going to talk about the magazine as we would. We got our letters page. I do like this letter here because I did read this one.
Actually. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you probably read it over and over again.
I did read it, and I was very much remembered.
Yeah.
Remembering a lot of it. It has... a letter about Ricky. It's just titled Ricky's Fault, and it just talks about how Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, because he just lost the title to the Intercontinental title to Honky Tonk, and they're like, yeah, well, he lost it fair and square, so that's just how it is, right? It's just a very honest letter about Ricky Steamboat. You know he lost his belt, you know, and it doesn't matter what Honky Tonk is, he lost his belt. And then, actually, this is great, because this is super kayfabe. James J. Dillon actually wrote a letter. This is him.
Wow.
Right here from Charlotte, North Carolina. Dillon's response, it is unfortunate that I find it necessary to take my time out of my busy schedule to address a story printed in your usually fine magazine, but your recent feature entitled 8 Isn't Enough, The Four Horsemen Take on the Superpowers and the Road Warriors requires my attention. I resent the story implying that I interfered illegally in the match in question. Indeed, you printed a photo from your own photograph showing Paul Ellering choking me with my own tie, yet Ellering receives admiration and I am vilified by the fans and the media. Is this fair?
He's got a point.
He does have a point. And they didn't show that picture, which I love this picture of Paul Ellering wearing, because there's also a picture of Terry Taylor.
Yeah, they're the same outfit.
They're wearing the same coat, like the same like satin, like white coat with like the red trim on it. And Paul Ellering is choking James J., but you only see him from the back. And he's kind of like, just the way he's holding it, like, it doesn't look like he's doing it very like aggressively. He's kind of just like, standing far enough away to grab the tie and just kind of yank it, and JJ's like selling it. I love this photo, and I always remember this one. So yeah, so those are your letters, and then you have the ringside. I always used to love this, and I think it was The Wrestler had this, and it was much easier to like just read these, where it would just tell you a bunch of things that are happening in wrestling up to date. You know, so in this one, you know, talking about I thought this was War Games, but it's not. It's just a big cage match that's a part of the Great American Bash series that happened between the Horsemen and Nikita and Road Warriors and Dusty. That's it. But they also have other matches here at this event.
Oh, I see Thunderfoot 2 was on the card.
Rocky King beat Thunderfoot 2. Here's a match that I don't know if I would ever want to see. Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe it might be good. I don't know. Terry Gordy and Buddy Roberts versus Paul Jones and Ivan Koloff. Paul Jones wrestling. I've never really seen him wrestle. I've always heard he was good back in like the early 80s.
Paul Jones and Ivan Koloff. Interesting.
That's like 100 years old.
Yeah.
What else is going on here? David Sammartino, currently wrestling in Michigan. He's fighting for the Ohio State title.
In Michigan.
In Michigan. Well, it's a promotion based in Michigan. And Bobo Brazil is there.
Oh, it was like, so they, when they had shows in Ohio, they had an Ohio title.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember OSPW, they wanted to do that. They wanted to have a New York title, a Pennsylvania title, and then the interstate title.
Well, that would just make sense to have the interstate title.
Yeah.
And not have individual titles, unless if your promotion.
Well, that was the original plan of the promotion, was to have New York, you have Pennsylvania, and then the main champion was the OSPW interstate champion.
What, did they used to also have Canada, like Ontario?
Well, I don't think they were going to run Canada. They just used Canadian guys.
Oh, okay. But I always felt it was a very Canadian promotion.
But then they just ended up sticking with New York State. They never ran Pennsylvania. And to this day, I still think they're going, but I think they're Nickel City Wrestling now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or Pier 6, or is that different?
Pier 6 was another promotion,
right,
that ran in Rochester and Buffalo. From my understanding, the guy who ran it kind of burned bridges with everybody who was involved, and that's why there's no more Pier 6 wrestling.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because you know how Western New York wrestling is. Like.
Hey, speaking of Western New York wrestling, on SmackDown.
Yeah, Colin Delaney.
Colin Delaney making
his appearance. Make his return.
Made his return. And I think they actually acknowledged that.
Yeah. Because he said, oh, he came back from obscurity. And then like later on, like on WWE.com, they had an interview with him. Like, hey, what have you been up to the last 10 years? And he's like, oh, you know, been bowing back.
Blah, blah, blah.
He's like, it's not the last you've seen of Colin Delaney. And because they asked him, like, oh, the fans were chanting for you. They remembered you and stuff like that. So it looks a lot bigger now. And he's got a beard.
Yeah, he looks a lot older.
Yeah.
Because I remember him, like, seeing him like years ago, you know, and obviously, you know, obviously it was much longer. It was like, what, 2008?
I was there for his first match in
BCW?
Well, yeah, I was there for that. But I was there for his first match even before that in Rochester Pro Wrestling, the Hellcat promotion. I don't know if it was called Rochester Pro Wrestling. That's what I'm just going to call it. Because Ian Decay's promotion was called Rochester Pro Wrestling. Then Hellcat had a promotion. And then they kind of merged. But then he threw Ian Decay out. But that was the promotion that I saw it in. He was just like the ring announcer. And then they had a mystery partner. And then the one match. And then he's like, and the mystery partner is. And then he took off his suit. And he had like a ring trunks with a microphone on it. And then he wrestled. And
right.
I was doing camera for that promotion that night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, but I remember, yeah, he was in all those things, all those matches.
He was like
a long time ago.
5'6", 130 pounds, soaking wet at that time. And now it looks like he's like closer to 6 feet tall, and like probably he's pretty big now. He looks pretty big. He looked good. So, yeah.
So getting back to ringside, Brian Adias. I actually remember this photo a lot of Brian Adias holding up his thumbs doing the fucking, what is it, the Fonzie pose.
Yeah.
I always remember this because I always thought that this Brian Adias, this is right after when he used the Oriental Tool to take Kevin Von Erich out of commission. Basically, from what I understand, if I recall correctly, the story was that he took him out of commission. They said he took him out of commission with the move, but really it was because Kevin had a seizure in the ring from like drugs or whatever.
Oh.
And that's what they put him over as, to put this over as. But I always thought that, because I always see Brian Adias and I'm like, man, this guy was like the most badass wrestler back then, wasn't he? Like, he was all over this book. He would be all over these books, you know, sometimes when in 87, and be like, oh, he's kicking everybody's ass and world class, and look at look at this guy, you know. And really, it was probably just this time that he was a big deal, you know. I think outside of that, like, you know, because the only thing I know him from was he was also in Starrcade 84 and he wrestled a random match there. So and this is right when also when Bam Bam Bigelow was making the move to the WWF.
A beardless Bam Bam Bigelow.
Well, this is a young picture of him. Yeah. I think it's like right when he first started.
Clean-shaven Bam Bam Bigelow.
The Crusher Yurkoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're like, he's going to get some matches, and he's going to get a manager, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and then we're talking about some matches out in Puerto Rico. I like this one where it's just like, oh, also Lance Von Erich or Tommy Rich was disqualified in a match against Abdullah Butcher for hitting the referee. I'm like, that's not news. Actually, that is news, because You would think Abby would be doing the hitting, getting disqualified, but Tommy Rich did.
My guess is he didn't want to wrestle Abby because he didn't want to get hepatitis, so he hit the ref.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Also, in the last, very last line here, the Midnight Rockers left the WWF for undisclosed reasons after a very short stay.
They sure did.
They sure did. So, moving on to the news. And this is actually, there's some bunch of stories in here in this book about the John Stossel.
Yeah, yeah, I saw this, and then I saw it later on in the book, yeah.
Which apparently...
That was a big deal.
I guess the settlement after Schultz hit Stossel was that Titan Sports... Well, the total amount was $425,000, $275,000, which came out of Titan. That's actually a very small number compared to if that was today, you would have all the money. But I guess it's 1987 money, so that's like... $10 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money in that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like this because also because it would say that the word ass was in here in quotations because the idea is that Vince McMahon told David Schultz to tear his ass up and blast him. Yeah, so be it.
Yeah, David Schultz could have handled it a little better. He could have like just grabbed him by the scruff of his neck and shook him up.
David Schultz is terrifying as it is. You don't need to hit him.
It's so funny too because like when you watch shoot interviews with him, like he's pretty like more laid back nowadays. And I'd like to.
No, I'm still scared of him.
I'm not. I'd get along with him just fine.
Me and David Schultz, we're gonna hang out. What's David Schultz up to these days? He's still a bounty hunter?
Oh man, he would make a great bounty hunter.
That's what his job was. Wow. Like when he got out of wrestling before, he was just bounty hunting. Like he was like Dog the Bounty Hunter, but like a wrestler. Like I think he was still bounty hunting.
Imagine if you're like you got a bounty on you and David Schultz shows up and like, come on, time to go back to jail. I'd be like, yeah, I'm not gonna mess with you, David Schultz.
Even if I'm not going supposed to go to jail, I'm going to jail. If David Schultz shows up, like, all right, I'm going to jail.
Because
I'm not messing with that guy. This is also right around the time so we have our In Focus segment, which is like, here's some random stories that we can't fill three pages with. So here's Ted DiBiase just came into WWF and now he's wrestling. He's the Million Dollar Man and he must have signed for a lot of money because that's why he's got so much money.
Oh,
that's apparently where the fortune came from because they go, I don't think it's his savings that he's getting. It's the lucrative contract that he signed because he's got Virgil and blah, blah, blah.
And he still charged me $30 for an autograph photo or just a regular.
Your story about that is actually very funny. Yeah. You've told that before, but I like that story a lot. I just like the part where you're like, do the laugh.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, what do you need my money for? You're the Million Dollar Man. How do you think I became the Million Dollar Man?
I don't know. You signed a really lucrative contract. See, it says right here.
Yeah.
This Kayfabe magazine. It's like, fuck you, kid.
Yeah.
Let's go pray or whatever he's doing now.
Yeah. He's praying.
But they're saying here, it's like, well, now that DiBiase's in a WWF, there's a few matchups we'd like to see, or I'd like to see. How about DiBiase versus Savage? That happened. Or Steamboat. I don't know if that happened. Or Butch Reed, because this is a kayfabe magazine, and we're not talking about Butch Reed, then what good are you? I hope they come about, but I fear we'll be saddled with such bouts as DiBiase versus Brutus Beefcake.
That did happen.
That did happen at a WrestleMania. No.
WrestleMania 5.
WrestleMania 5 or SD Jones. Well, he's got to have squash somebody. Or Magnificent Morocco, which happened at WrestleMania 4. Take it or leave it, Craig Peters. And there's this more expanded story about the Rockers going to the WWF. Basically, like, they got kicked out because they partied too hard. But where are they going now? They've done everything they could do in AWA. Maybe they should go to World Class. Maybe they should go to WCW. They could wrestle the World Warriors, but they need to figure their shit out. And then we get a nice little thing here about... Mike Rotundo, he's a good champion, guys. There he is with the Florida title. I like the smaller belts.
Yeah.
I always like seeing those. I've been seeing that a lot on the WWE community, 2K18 community stuff. I've been seeing a lot of people doing a lot of Florida belts, and they have a lot of those smaller belts. I'm going to have to pick a few of those up.
Speaking of belts, so WWE, just yesterday, as of talking right now, they did a photo shoot on their website of like current wrestlers with old belts.
I saw that.
It was pretty awesome. And then I posted like on the Reddit page. I was like, oh man, when belts look like belts and not like class rings. And then everyone was like, oh my God, no, I can't stop seeing class rings when I look at current belts.
That looks like a fucking class ring. That universal title.
Yeah. It looks like a class ring.
I will say, shout out to the European belt being brought out.
Yeah. They brought that out. That was pretty funny.
I want to see that. Just bring that back. You have it. Bring it back. Yeah. I want wrestlers to wrestle for it.
Yeah. Well, they have the UK United Kingdom title.
Which, by the way, the UK belt, that is probably their best belt in years.
It's pretty awesome.
It is fantastic. Did you actually, speaking of belts, you'll have to look it up, but the new ROH belt has been redone.
Oh, I haven't looked at
it. It looks awesome. It looks great. It's actually probably one of the best belts I've seen in a long time outside of the UK belt. But I like it. Yeah, it's really good. But that is a great photo shoot. I liked all the wrestlers holding them, and everybody seemed so happy to do it.
Yeah.
Like those old tag belts. I love those old tag belts, so do man.
I. Yeah.
God, just bring those back.
Yeah, Finn looked great with the winged title belt. Oh, it looked awesome.
I know. Actually, it would be great if they would, if somebody would, if they would, for surprise out of nowhere, bust out that the old Hogan belt that he threw in the dumpster. Somebody found that.
Oh, the one with the guy holding the belt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bust that one out. Yeah. Or just bring back, what was it, the not the winged belt, but the one before that.
Yeah.
You got to bring those out. You know, I actually just get all your old belts and just have everybody take pictures of them. And dudes like us will just fucking come all over the place because it is the fucking coolest.
And then thing. Just keep them as the belts because that's how it should
and
be.
And then just keep them.
Yeah. Yes.
And
that's what they did with the Intercontinental belt. Like, it's the old one. So.
And then just bring them and then bring them to all your conventions or whatever it is. And I'll spend money to take pictures with those belts.
Yeah.
Because hot damn, I love me some belts.
And bring back the old WCW US belt with like the.
Well, I heard they're supposed to I saw something.
That belt needs to be redone.
I feel like they're going to redo it. That belt just looks like garbage. I'm surprised it's been like that for that long.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks so cheap.
Yeah.
So
well, the champ is pretty cheap looking too.
So. You're not a fan of Baron Corbin, huh?
I just like, dude, shave your head already, man. Seriously.
That's
right,
we've had this discussion before.
Yeah. It's gotten worse since we've talked about it.
He's been losing more hair.
Yeah. She's like, come on, dude, really? Let it go, man.
Did you read this off the top of the Eddie Ellner column?
No,
this?
I did not.
This is fantastic because Eddie Ellner is just losing his mind here. And he's somebody. I'm going to read this letter because it's actually quite funny.
Okay.
So I got to see. I have to go to the other page and make sure.
Oh,
that
of
I
course
have
you
it.
Do. Yeah.
Can't fuck this up, Mr. Ellner. As secretary of Woodcliffe's Lake Polish Auxiliary, I would like to inform you that you and your magazine, or to inform you and your magazine that Ivan Putski has won a poll of naming the greatest wrestler of the last 50 years in a very close vote. But Putski outdistanced Hulk Hogan, Bruno Sammartino, and Killer Kowalski.
This is the dumbest poll I've ever heard.
Eddie Ellner agrees. My question to you is, did you think it's possible to have Mr. Putski come to our annual awards luncheon and personally accept this plaque? The answer probably would have been yes.
He would have been like more than happy to.
It is a beautiful plaque in the shape of a flexing bicep celebrating, obviously, Mr. Putski's prodigious strength. If you could supply his address, it would be greatly appreciative. Barbara Palazuski from Woodcliffe Lakes, New Jersey. That is a Polish woman.
Yeah, sure is.
Eddie says, and this is fucking fantastic. Dear Miss Kielbasa for Brains, only one thing is obvious to me, that you and your organization and the entire town of Woodcliffe Lakes has plaque between their ears. Get your brains flossed, you Polish floozy. Ivan Putski was a joke, not a wrestler. I can't get you Putski's address. Last I heard, he was tying his shoelaces in Krakow, muttering to himself. This is a wrestling column, not a garden club newsletter. You should be aware of your name. You should be aware your name has been forwarded to several government agencies. Deportation proceedings are imminent.
I like that response. She's probably an American, though, so she's not going to get deported. But I agree with him other than that.
This is some of the finest wrestling journalism I've seen written in a magazine. This is why this magazine is the greatest.
Yeah.
I also want to point out here he's saying, Dear Eddie, you predicted it would be just a matter of time before Nikita Koloff embraced his uncle in the Soviet way of life. But since then, him and Nikita fought and blah, blah, blah. So what do you got to say now? And according to Eddie Ellner, blood will be spilled before any reconciliation is possible. There's a fine line between love and hate. Nikita was never meant to hear cheers. Prediction: main event of the Starrcade 1990 will be Nikita Koloff versus Magnum TA in a cage match. Very optimistic, this Eddie Ellner.
We're in the ratings now.
We are in the ratings.
And they are your generic ratings from 1987. These ones make more sense than the last book we did, so that's good.
Yeah, they do make more sense. Yeah. And they are not kayfabe as
shit. But Killer Khan's ranked number 3.
Well, he was getting a lot of shots back
then.
Yeah. This was like, you know, summer of 87. So he was pretty much fighting wrestling Hogan like all the time. Like him and Harley. Harley Race was up in there too.
You know, it's funny. I thought there was a Killer Khan figure, and I looked on eBay. There's no Killer Khan figure.
Killer Khan has got another guy who I think, along with Mike Shaw, has gotten the shaft.
Yeah, I want a Killer Khan figure. Make one happen.
You can give him a hat. You can give him all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
Well, no, wait. There's a Killer Khan. There's an LGN figure.
I thought there was. I cannot find it anywhere on
no,
eBay.
No, it was on the back of the magazine. I know I saw it.
Yeah, I can't find it anywhere
wait,
on
or
eBay.
Or did I see it?
I thought there was, too. I thought for sure there was a Killer Khan LJN figure. I looked on eBay. There's none to be found.
Goddamn. Man.
I want a Killer Khan figure.
Yes. We need to get that. We'll put that in with the rate with the Scotty the Body figure. We'll do a special because sometimes you get yourself the Killer Khan
DLC.
I want the Killer Khan
ambulance match.
I want him against it was a stretcher match. Against him against Andre.
Yeah,
because that way you get Fro Andre.
Yeah, that's the Andre I want. I don't want this circa WrestleMania 3 Andre. I want big Afro with the Western vest Andre. That's what I want. I want him to have a beer can in his hand.
I want his Hydrotron just to be a picture of a can, his gigantic hand holding a Molson.
Yeah, like I want that to be one of the signs to choose. Like when you're like choosing wrestlers, the signs and the creator wrestler. I want that.
I agree. That is actually a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Why are we not creating this game every year? It would not sell as much, but so many people would be happy.
I would make the Switch port work. That's for sure. Holy crap! Did you see the video I posted of the Switch gameplay? My God!
Maybe I should see that.
It's bad.
Is it really bad?
It's really bad. Everything's in slow motion.
Oof.
Yeah. Even in like one-on-one matches, don't really work.
Mm.
It's not good. They're saying it's the worst Switch game ever made.
There's only like three Switch games.
Well, no, I mean, it's just a broken, buggy mess.
Well, that's your standard WWE release every year, so
I know
you get what you pay for.
Everyone on Reddit's posting, "Oh, they're ever going to patch it to fix the universe mode in the Switch?" I'm like, "Dude, fix the universe mode in the PS4. That one's not even working." So. No.
I haven't gotten to my universe mode yet. I feel bad now because I keep hearing you talk about it.
I just get that black screen of death all the time.
Oh.
I wanted to start our show, and I can't because the universe mode's broken, so I'd have to use a regular arena. I don't want to do that. I want to use a kayfabe arena that I created in a high school gym.
What a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah, with Staley Wayne Manor as the commissioner.
Yeah, we got to get him in there.
Yeah.
Maybe Bill Apter might show up.
Yeah, he might.
Maybe I'll have to
all my slots are full, so I can't even create a Stately Wayne Manor right now. I got to delete some guys.
You got to drop some dudes.
Yeah, I got to delete some guys that I downloaded. Yeah. That's too bad.
What else we got here? Well, basically just your ratings that you see.
Yeah.
You see all the time. Nothing really in here. Only thing that I notice in here is the Florida ratings. You got the Barbarian. Actually, I like this. So the Barbarian, Congo the Barbarian. Or the Barbarian, as we know him.
Yeah.
Hailing from Chicago.
Oh, he's from Chicago.
I don't believe.
Oh, Conga the Barbarian from Chicago, Illinois.
Nah, not happening. Some random ass names here in Pacific Northwest. Some people I don't even know half of these people. I feel kind of bad that I don't because I have to know everything. Sky High Lee, George Scollin. I'm assuming it's Arnold Scollin's kid. Joey Jackson. Remember the big Joey Jackson run in Pacific Northwest?
Mm-hmm.
They also ranked the referees here.
Oh, look at that.
Got yourself Dick Worley. Dick Worley is the oldest man
I've
ever
seen.
Yeah,
he's that old man ref from like the old... I know who he is. Yeah, I've seen the
he is extremely old.
Yeah.
And Dick Kroll, who I've known, who looks like Frank Black, the singer Frank mm-hmm. Black.
Tommy Young.
Tommy Young.
Yeah.
Bill Alfonso. The Hebners. You got yourself Earl Hebner is number 3 and David Hebner in the WWF is number 7.
Mm-hmm.
They would soon merge. But that's, and then we're talking about PNW in here. So, yeah, they're good ratings here. Halfway to Immortality, basically just your fluff piece on Hogan and how, you know, Hogan had this many titles. You know, Bruno held the title for a long time, and Hogan's on his way there.
And they got a shot of Hogan with the 85 belt, which I love.
They do, yeah. It's a very – I like this headband, too. I just like the white headband with just Hulkster and cursive.
Yeah, I need one of those.
Yeah, I need one of those in my life. I do love some good shots here, though. I do like this publicity photo of Bruno doing like the kind of like walking pose.
Yeah.
But he looks great. He looks like $1 million here.
Yeah, he looks like when you're at a crosswalk and it's got like the pedestrian thing. That's what he's the pose.
I think we need to change all crosswalks to that.
Yeah, to Bruno Sammartino.
I would go to a crosswalk every day.
Yeah.
And this is a great picture of him punching Baron von Raschke in the stomach.
Yeah.
And it's just a perfectly timed photo. I also always love this photo of Hogan about to give Mr. Wonderful the pile driver and just kind of doing the doing the double arm motion. That's a great photo. Actually, that'd be a great fucking poster.
Yeah, maybe Raven's got that in the scrapbook.
Yeah, Raven's got, yeah. It's just a picture of him with the lab coat. And then he's got that, there's that picture I took of Hogan about to pile drive Paul Orndorff. Basically, the gist here of the book, of the story, is that he's like, well, you know, Bob Backlund has something to say here. And they're like, well, Hogan's opponents, you know, yeah. Bob Backlund's like, well, I wrestled Harley Race. He's past his prime. And, you know, Killer Khan, he's dangerous, but he's not really a good wrestler. Or he's a joke as a wrestler. Bob Backlund taking Killer Khan to task. So, yeah, that's basically it. Another great photo here. I love this photo of Hogan about to throw Bundy into the cage of WrestleMania 2. Mm-hmm. And Bundy's all bloody. Bundy did a nice blade job in that match.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah.
Back in the day when you didn't see a lot of, you know, I didn't see enough blood in WWF. But when you did, it was like, oh, you remember it.
There's a lot more blood then than there is now, that's for sure.
Well, 100%. Yeah. Press conference, Barry Windham. I don't care. I mean,
he's got, you know, he's whatever.
Barry Windham's like talking about, I'm going to win all the titles because he just won the Western States title. So they're really trying to put over the Western States title here.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't lost it yet to Barry, I think Larry Zbysko, which basically there's only two champions.
Yeah, that's too bad because there should have been more.
Or maybe it was a three. Did Black Bart win the title? I think he beat Black Bart in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're just kind of talking to him about his crazy schedule. And here's the main story. When the going gets tough, will Nikita turn bad again?
I hope not.
No, I hope not either. Being despised and a feared representative of a hostile power, Nikita Koloff has become one of the most popular wrestlers in the country. His skills and success are respected and admired by fans and pros alike, but will it last?
I like how he still has like the Russian trunks, but he's a good guy.
Yeah, how come he didn't just turn into a flag?
Yeah, he should have got rid of those.
Well, because it was the uniting of the superpowers. Mm-hmm. He had to wear his stuff, and Dusty wore his stuff, and they were friends.
Yeah.
Just kind of go talking about the recent intricacies of his face turn and stuff. And this is like the Nikita I remember. Like when I first started, you know, this is like,
yeah,
I always remember, I never really knew of him as a heel.
Yeah, because this happened, I was too young, so yeah.
But then he came back to the NWA or the WCW, and he was doing those promos, which I don't know if you remember these, where it was a promo of him in like a dusty gym. He's got like a thing wrapped, like tightened around his head. It's a weight. And he's just sitting on a bench and he's lifting his head up and down to strengthen his neck so he can just lift his weight on his head. And he's just screaming Luger.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole idea was that Luger, you know, he's coming back to take vengeance on Luger for costing him the U.S. title back in 87. Although I don't understand why he just didn't take his vengeance right away. Because he was there for another couple of years. And he's ended up fucking around with Junkyard Dog and shit.
Well,
great photo here, though, by the way, of Nikita and Ivan reading a book of Russian propaganda.
Yeah, it just says propaganda. That's awesome.
and Ivan's wearing a cape.
Yeah, which is great.
Nikita's got his chain. I think they both have chains. Or Nikita's got his chain. He's got the headband. It's obviously from the like 86, you know, when they were teaming, 85, 86. But I love that photo. I always remember, that's another thing I remember about this magazine, is that photo. Because I always was like, oh, they're reading this book about propaganda. Jimmy Hart, new manager of champions. Because Honky Tonk just won the Intercontinental title. And, you know, you got the tag champs of the Hart Foundation and putting them over. It's like, hey, he's going to have a good year. Captain Lou Albano's like, he's doing a good job.
He did a good job that year.
I do want to point out this photo here of Hulk Hogan wrestling Honky Tonk, but Honky Tonk's wearing his suspenders.
Look at that. That looks great.
It's a rare suspender.
That's a great
Honky Tonk photo. Great
outfit. I like the Jimmy Hart with the leopard skin jacket. I like that look, and I found a WWE 2K18 somebody made it, and I was like, yes, that's awesome.
That's a good look for him. It's kind of a shame that he started doing like the custom jackets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the leopard's print and whatever.
Like, yeah.
That's pretty good look.
I like the leopard print, and I like the white jacket with the musical notes. Those are my two favorite jackets of his.
That's the classic one on the LJN figure.
Yeah.
Speaking of figures, by the way, I want to point this out real quick. I saw this. Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins are starting a wrestling figure podcast.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
I'll listen, if the audio's good, I will listen to it.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming they will probably be over as fuck. And I'm looking forward to that, because if there's anybody that knows enough about wrestling figures, it's those guys.
Yeah.
And they could talk just like us. So I do like this photo of a bloody Bret Hart, too. You can't really see that he's bloody, but you can tell that he's bloody.
Yeah, he's bloody.
They look like a good match. I also like this random picture of Honky Tonk. I don't know if he's doing a leg drop or an elbow drop, but it's clearly like Pedro Morales is moving out of the way. And I don't know exactly what move we're supposed to see here, but just the way that it's taken, it looks like he was nowhere near it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Terror Embargo. Road Warriors declared too tough for Japan. And basically, the Road Warriors came in and they won the All Japan titles. And
there's a nice photo of Animal lifting up a Japanese wrestler over his head.
Yeah.
And you got the Road Warriors with Paul Ellering.
Just the Road Warriors looking awesome and just kicking ass.
Yeah.
It's really
kicking Japanese ass.
They kick a Japanese wrestler ass. And that they're over. And that how the apparently the idea is that the wrestler, there was a secret meeting in Japan to discuss keeping the Road Warriors out of Japan because they're beating up too many Japanese wrestlers.
Yeah.
They're kicking too much ass. They have some quotes here. Animal does not see legal action as a way to solve this problem. Japanese yellow-bellied wimps, that's what they are, said Animal in the fierce tones. They want to get rid of us. They should try and beat us instead of being a bunch of geeks. Hey, Hawk, they say we're too tough. What do you say about that? Arg.
Oh, he didn't say it. Well? Yeah. Which I thought he would have said.
He just said arg.
Oh.
Because he's a pirate. he was a pirate. What do you say to this, Pirate Hawk?
Now we got the John Stossel story.
Yeah, this is their one here. They talk about this. We've already talked about this.
Yeah, he won money. He got beat
up. Look at that Stossel mustache.
That's a green mustache.
It's a great mustache. And now we're just kind of giving up all the other things. I do love some of these letters, though. This is actually one of the best letters, the columns I've seen here, because you got letter here says Humper Dumb. Is it just me, or is Sir Oliver Humperdinck the dumbest animal to associate itself with professional wrestling? He's a poor man's Lou Albano. Kind of is.
Kind of was, yeah.
Kind of was, not going to lie.
Definitely was.
Humper Dumb indeed. Here's a very perplexing letter. Bravo Black Bart. I've been following wrestling for a long time. I'm in my 60s, and I've seen more wrestlers come and go than most of these young whippersnappers following the sport today have heard of. I think we're talking, what's everybody's name? Bob Evans? Jim Evans?
Jim Evans, yeah.
This is like a Jim Evans dude here.
Yeah.
I'm writing to say that Black Bart is the best wrestler I have ever seen.
Out of all the years he's watched wrestling, he's seen the greats.
This dude is 60 years old. It means he's been probably watching wrestling for 40 years.
Yeah.
So he's been watching wrestling since the 40s, probably.
Probably.
He has seen Buddy Rogers. He's seen Lou Fez. He's seen the Funks. He's seen the Briscoes. He's seen all of them in their heyday.
He's from Texas.
And he's from Dallas. He's seen the Von Erichs.
Yeah. Fritz and the other one.
He's seen Fritz. He's seen everybody.
Waldo.
Waldo. Yeah, he's seen them. He's seen all those guys. He's seen your Dusty Rhodeses, your all those guys.
He's seen Dory Funk Sr.
Yeah, he saw Dory Funk Sr.
Yeah.
He's seen Bob Orton Sr.
You know, I've seen them all. Bob Armstrong.
Yeah,
I've seen everybody.
The Bruiser, the Crusher.
Oh, yeah, the Crusher. Yeah.
But Black Bart is the best wrestler he has ever seen.
Ever. Black Bart.
And I like this picture of Black Bart that they put underneath it, and it looks like Black Bart is kind of confused that he's heard this guy.
He looks like Bad Bart from that movie Crazy Heart. That's what he looks like.
Why don't people appreciate Bart? He's tough, rugged, and doesn't put up with any guff. Last I heard of him in a magazine, some damn fool called him a journeyman.
Oh.
Well, he kind of is.
Yeah, he sure was.
He won the Western States title. No, he competed for Western States title, but he won the world-class title, I think, by default.
Oh, nice.
In a phantom match in Los Angeles. The world-class had a card in Los Angeles, and they beat... who did he beat? I think it was... Was it Rick Rude?
I don't know.
Or something like that. Title. So they just had him give the title, and then Kevin Von Erich won it. I don't know.
Yeah, Bad Bart or Black Bart. I don't even know anymore.
He ain't no journeyman. He's a former world-class champion, and he still gets no credit. It's a damn shame. Yeah. Mike Harris from Dallas, which, ironically enough, Black Bart's shoot name is Rick Harris. Maybe it's his dad.
I want to go see Crazy Heart now. I'm going to watch it again.
Also, shout out to Dark Journey. Do you remember Dark Journey?
No, we've talked about her before. Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, Dark Journey was a thing. She was around for literally like a couple months.
She was like Tully Blanchard's woman, and then that was it.
Yeah. But they, I feel like when I was reading these magazines, it was all about Dark Journey. Yeah. Like, I feel like I was like, oh, my God, Dark Journey must be the biggest.
Like, wasn't this some wrestler find her in a bar or something like that? And then,
possibly.
Then she became Dark Journey.
That's how a lot of those chicks would get their jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to say it, but that's how some of these chicks, like, they would meet, like, a really hot girl in a town. They'd be like, hey, you want to, like, be a part of this gimmick? And
that's how Sapphire got her job.
That's how Sapphire got her job.
Yeah, she was a rat. I guess. I don't know. I don't know. R.I.P. Sapphire.
R.I.P. Sapphire.
R.I.P. Dark Journey.
Wait, she's not dead?
Yeah, we could assume that, I guess.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so we're just finishing up here. We are getting actually to something here I actually was very much looking forward to talking to about the Arena Report.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
Because we got to talk about some of these wrestling, some of these cards, some of these WWF cards going on here. We were giving a shout out to WWF 1987 a few, probably last couple episodes ago.
Hulk Hogan had a disqualification win over Kamala at the Joe Louis Arena.
Right. Wow. Let's look at this card. So you got, okay, this wasn't too bad.
That one was an okay card. Well, you got Hulk Hogan and the Honky Tonk Man on the same card. That almost never happened. Honky Tonk Man
defeating Corporal Kirshner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you had Meadowlands. Okay, check this one out. Okay. This is, I don't know if I like this.
Who are the Shadows? Because Jim Powers and Paul Roma beat them, destroyed the Shadows.
The Shadows, I think, were one of them was Randy Cully, and then maybe Estrada or Luis Rivera.
They destroyed them.
Oh, they just
so if you're getting destroyed by the Young Stallions, then you're not much of a team.
Yeah, check out this card here. You got Coco Beware won a 20. I think it's from the main event down.
Uh-huh.
So it's Coco Beware won a 20-man battle royal.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
I do, because Virgil won one at the Niagara Falls Convention Center. So
what year?
In the was 90s. It,
90s?
Yeah.
What the hell is he doing winning?
He won. He won a battle royal at the convention center.
Okay.
I didn't attend it, but I remember asking somebody who attended. I was like, oh, who won the battle royal? And she was like, Virgil. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah.
He took that money and went right to Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Danny Davis defeated George Animal Steel by count out. Okay, that sounds awful. Butch Reed pinned Outback Jack. Killer Khan beat Corporal Kirshner. Can-Ams beat Bob Orton and Mizziffit Rocco. Coco Beware doing... everybody was probably in this battle royal, so... Coco Beware beat Iron Mike Sharp. One Man Gang defeated SC Jones. Islanders defeated Pedro Morales and Tito Santana. And Ron Bass defeated Lanny Poffo. Then we get to this... here's a Fort Wayne, Indiana. Bulldogs beat the Hart Foundation by count-out. King Kong Bundy defeated Hillbilly Jim. When Little Beaver interfered... I don't know what date this was. Doesn't say what date it was, but apparently it must have been after WrestleMania, so Little Beaver is still alive.
Yeah.
Junkyard Dog defeated Nikolai Volkoff. Bam Bam defeated Lanny Poffo.
I like how everyone, like, when I was a kid, everyone was like, oh, Little Beaver got killed in that match.
No,
like,
he didn't.
It's like, everyone's like, oh.
He King did Kong. Eventually die.
Yeah, he eventually died, but everyone was like, oh, King Kong Bundy killed him. I'm like, if King Kong Bundy killed him, why would Hillbilly Jim be holding him in his arms after the match? Like, no.
I got a dead vision in my hands. Yeah, and a Tom Begee sighting.
Oh, wow.
Nonetheless, here. Also, here's the one that I think was unique here. Hulk Hogan defeated Harley Race in a Texas death match. Ken Patera beat Bob Orton. Some of these pairings seem weird. Bulldogs and JYD against beat Hart Foundation and Danny Davis. Butch Reed defeated Hacksaw by disqualification, which Mid-South, that's early on for both of those guys. That's like a Mid-South dream match. Randy Savage beat Blackjack Mulligan. Billy Jack beat Ron Bass. One Man Gang defeated Paul Roma. Irish Sheik beat Dick Slater. Dick Slater's still hanging around in summer 87. It's kind of surprising. Hillbilly Jim drew with Paul Orndorff.
Okay.
I don't know if that seems like a very boring match. I don't know. Maybe Hillbilly Jim was doing some jumping jacks. It was probably fun.
Yeah, he probably did some square dancing.
And get a load of this tag team match. Jake Roberts and Bruce Beefcake defeated King Kong Bundy and Hercules Hernandez.
That would be an awesome match.
I like that match. That's a match I would probably make in my...
like the most random match ever.
Very random. And then we finally get to the end, and we are doing... The Inquirer, which talks about all the news.
Yeah.
I think so. This is from August 87. So this is the most recent wrestling news, I think.
Oh.
So JJ separated his shoulder in the first War Games.
Oh, good. That's too bad.
That's a rough looking match, too. Because it was always, JJ, poor JJ, man. He got his ass handed to him in that. Humperdinck signs with WWF. And I like this picture of Humperdinck because he looks like Enzo Amore.
It's a great photo.
It's a great photo. He's even got himself a He's got himself some blade scars. He's got a little...
Yeah, he's got a bandage.
Humperdinck, who is currently in Florida, claims sole responsibility for running Lex Luger and Barry Windham out of town. Although both men signed contracts with other federations prior to the departures, they would never have left if not for me.
But now I'm going to go to WWF.
Now he's in the WWF, and we don't know who he's going to manage. He only managed, like, Bam Bam, wasn't he?
Yeah, Bam Bam and...
Well, no, it was always, yeah, Bam Bam and Orndorff.
Orndorff, yeah.
And then we have, let's see, Skandor Akbar offering Barry Windham some money. Wants him to get back in Devastation Inc.
Yeah.
I love that name.
It's a great name.
Great name for a stable. Also, early John Tenta here.
Oh, cool.
Former sumo wrestler John Tenta, following a successful pro debut in Japan, has arrived in Canada, where he became the Canadian Earthquake.
Yeah.
Tenta is a native of Canada, hoping for a shot at Calgary International champion Owen Hart. And that's really it.
That's it.
And we get ourselves a poll. I'm not going to read the poll. Fuck
no,
the poll.
No, I don't want to read the poll either.
I don't want information in my books.
Yeah. So all the color photos were removed, but it's okay. You had this as a kid.
Well, it was just that one, in the insert.
Didn't you have any more?
No, it was just a folder. Oh. Or just I think it was just that. Because that's usually what it was. It was just the whatever. It doesn't promise that much color.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Get yourself a cover. This is a good cover.
Good cover.
Yeah,
good book.
Yeah, that's a great book. Great book. Great condition, by the way.
Good condition.
Good
yeah.
condition. I am not going to let go of this. This is my Bobo the doll. You know, like, what's his face? Montgomery Burns has Bobo
yeah.
the bear. This is my Bobo, the wrestling magazine. I'm not going to let this one go now. Fast forward to next year when I throw it. I sent it away.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with all these magazines.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I got them stashed away.
Well, I plan on moving in a couple months. I don't think I'm bringing them with me, so.
Well, maybe you should go to the PCW show and be like, hey, you want all these back?
Yeah.
Give me $50.
I don't see myself bringing them with me, but then again, I'll probably just bring them with me.
Well, only bring the ones that we haven't done yet.
Yeah, obviously, but I think, I don't know, I got all those ones that we did, and they fill up a laundry basket now, and it's like, ugh. But anyway, follow me on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter at Sweatpants Joe.
I'm at Angry Hero Sean on Instagram and Twitter. And yeah. You can find us on Facebook. I Could Talk Kayfabe. Please head on over there and, you know, just engage with us. We'll try to post more pictures, post the show, and that'd be really cool.
Yeah, and please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Write us a review and rate us 5 stars. We appreciate it. It helps grow the podcast. And that's it.
Oh, so what's our quote going to be? Who would we talk about?
I guess we're talking about Nikita a lot. So
what does Nikita say?
I don't know. He doesn't really have a catchphrase.
Oh, God damn it. We got to find somebody that actually has a catchphrase. No wrestlers have catchphrases, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Did we ever do the Road Warriors yet?
Oh, what a rush.